back on the 8th to come and present their turnaround strategy. And but I see that they've got two presentations that they want to deal with, probably because they don't want to be called again. They want to deal with this once and for all. And they also then want to tell us how are they going to respond to the irregular expenditures that were highlighted by by the Tustin. But otherwise, without waste of time, let's allow them, and they will present their team, the delegation, and then they will do the presentation straight away. And we do want to appreciate that this time around, last time they were here, we complimented them on the young side of the delegation, so they decided to put flavor as well and put a woman. So gender is also represented. So we do want to appreciate that. But we're going to start now. Over to you, Chair.
Is that on? Madam Chairperson, actually we have two women, not just one, and a youth. In our delegation, I've got myself and the Deputy Chairperson, Madam Juleka Bayat. We also have the Chief Financial Officer, Shafiq, and of course our young Chartered Accountant that we brought with yesterday, the last time, which is Songezo, and Madam Titinti Mushweu, who is the Head of Operations, and of course our Head Strategist, the most popular gentleman who's been here, Dr. Malada, many a times. What we were battling with, do you want to show this? Are we not there? What we were battling with is that we would like to make three presentations, but due to the fact that we don't have sufficient time, we have decided to look at just five things. Of importance to us is our overview of audit findings. And of course, the second one is irregular expenditure, and the third being the performance against approved annual performance plan 2015-2016. And instead of giving you an elaborate turnaround strategy because of time, we thought we should just share with you highlights. If you need more information on this, we'll be more than happy to present to you. It's a very detailed presentation, very detailed turnaround strategy that is based on, you know, principles that are accepted as best practice. And of course, we will then deal with the action plan against repeated findings by the Auditor General. So on that note, we will have our Chief Financial Officer to deal with the overview of the audit findings and irregular expenditure. And of course, Dr. Malada will deal with the, you know, performance, and I'll deal with the turnaround strategy, and of course, we'll then conclude with the action plan against repeat findings. The question I'd like to ask the Chair is, how much time do we have?
No. Don't go to town, but we have enough time.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Would you like to continue?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you our turnaround on the irregular expenditure. But just to give some content or to provide some content on what the audit outcomes were for the financial year 2015-16. Overall, there has been some improvement, particularly in the issue of reported information. You will see in 2014-15, 20% of the items predetermined objectives were unqualified, and that moved to 75%. So there was a significant improvement in terms of performance information in the environment. In terms of the compliance with legislation, in terms of irregular expenditure, 20.9 million was in 2014-15. We reduced that to 0.7 million in 2015-16. There has been overall improvement in internal control environment and in terms of assurance provision as well. So overall, there has been step-by-step improvement, year-on-year improvement, and this next slide helps to contextualize the year-on-year improvement. So you see in the history of the NHBRC, there has been some material breakdowns with regard to irregular expenditure, particularly 2011, 2012, to about 2013. In around 2014-15, we implemented interventions to start to arrest the trend and to bring compliance and control over the irregular expenditure environment. And year on year, you will see that that has come down, the graph has come down to 2015-16, 13 million, 2016-17, 2 million, and our target is by 31 March 2017, zero. So what have we done about it? Now, what were the key challenges? The first was the numerous audit findings that are coming out of the AG, coupled with the slow and ineffective SEM function that we experienced in the delivery of goods and services, impeding the delivery of performance within the organization overall. So our first approach was to try to understand the root causes, what was giving rise to this issue, to try and arrest the issue. And in 2015, we started to understand what were the diagnostics of the root causes. Now, some of that was ineffective policies, processes, and procedures, which was as it pertains to both SEM activities and contributing to irregular expenditure, lack of demand planning and integration of business needs. In a sense, we were not doing effective planning to be able to understand how we procured it. The lack of appropriate control, monitoring, and compliance in the SEM function. One, to understand compliance in regard to the National Treasury prescripts, as well as other regulatory compliance requirements. Then we were typically analytical and reporting capabilities that we needed, as well as the skills requirements that was there. So we embarked on a process to try and understand all of the key drivers in this environment, with a view then to start to correct it. And our first response was to implement the appropriate policies and procedures in place. And to support that with the right kind of culture and behavior within the organization. So that has been implemented. The second thing, we designed the processes to give us much more analytical capabilities and automation onto the SAP platform, which we managed to implement. The improved analytical, we implemented demand planning much more effectively so we can resource accordingly in the supply chain function to then be able to go to market much more efficiently. For contracts under less than 500,000, we started to look at frequently purchased items and put in framework agreements on some of these contracts. And then we started to step up the risk and control environment and the auditing of the supply chain management environment. In addition to that, we recruited the right SEM skills into the organization, and while we can confidently say we got the right skills in the organization, and then we went on a major process to train end users on SEM policies, procedures, applicable accountabilities, and the consequences of non-compliance going forward. And given that, we've been able to arrest the issues within supply chain function. Now, I think as the key issue that we needed to deal with in this current financial year was some of the spillovers from the prior financial year contracts that came into the current financial year. All of these, Chair, I can give you the assurance, have been now regularized. All these contracts have been terminated and all SEM processes are in place. And now we are moving to a process of now resolving or condoning where we need to condone and to then arrive at a zero irregular expenditure by 31st March. So all of the efforts that have been implemented is come to fruition, and now our final goal is to clean the space up and move with the turnaround strategy to a new dispensation for the organization.
Thank you, Shafiq. Madam Chair, I'm not sure if you would like us to take questions on
you know, irregular expenditure before we proceed to APP, or should we just continue with the presentation?
No, continue. You're not doing APP. Remember,
yes,
you've been here 2 weeks ago, and then we said come back and just tell us the things that you're going to do to deal with the issues that arose from the APP. So
okay.
I want to correct that. We're not dealing with the APP.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, go to the next presentation.
So once we want, I think we've covered irregular expenditure. The next critical item for us to secure clean audit, two items for us to secure clean audit is, one is the governance, ICT governance framework. Now, we have been in the process of implementing a new ERP system, which is completed, and we're now in the stabilization phases. But critical to our ICT environment is its governance framework. And there have been numerous gaps around that in terms of policies to govern the ICT framework. But we have now established the framework and the governance framework in place. Our ICT committee, which is part of the council, is in place. Our CIO has been appointed. Our information security and IT governance officer is appointed. A new ICT security policy has been developed and it will be approved by council in this quarter. And an IT change control process has been developed. And this is critical for us in terms of governing ICT solutions, the space, and to be able to ensure that changes taking place within the environment are valid and controlled as prescribed by the policies. This will be the last leg of the repeat audit findings that once again takes us into a new dispensation. And then it's about efficiency rather than non-compliance issues that we have to deal with into the organization. With regard to root causes, on performance information, that was the third leg, typically we would compile an APP and sum up for a way in which we would contextualize or define the KPIs, but most probably not the most effective ways of applying SMART principles. Typically, internal audit quality performance information is not subject to review by the internal audit before being submitted to committees of council and the department. And then workshops on management on portfolio of evidence were not being conducted at the provincial level. So typically, people did not understand the importance of portfolio of evidence, and that would show up in the audit outcomes and responses. In order to deal with that, we proactively engage with the AG upfront in this APP to assist us in designing the APP that wants to be able to ensure that it's relevant and it's useful for the purposes of the organization and the mandate. We currently have an internal audit process that gets done quarterly on the performance information to confirm its accuracy and reliability. We've conducted workshops on the portfolio of evidence across provinces and within the organization to be able to align the organization around importance of portfolio of information of evidence, the relevance of the evidence, and its ability to stand an audit test and to secure the audit outcomes that we're looking for. At the same time, executive managers' contracts have been aligned or are to be supported by a portfolio of evidence before we can conclude on their contracts. And we now have a proposal from council that we establish a monitoring and evaluation process that monitors the performance information. Now, that will be the third pillar of us securing the clean audit. But as I've pointed out, there has been significant movement in this area, together with irregular expenditure, and I think ICT governance was the most sticky area, but we've got momentum on that, and we're now moving forward on the ICT governance. All in all, Chair, these are three areas that have been our pain points in securing the clean audit, even though it was unqualified, but I think we're now moving forward to securing that now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. To the NHBRC to responding to our request to come back and present to us the plan that they have to deal with the repeated findings by the AG. I'm not going to open it for questions now. I'm going to allow them to present the next presentation, and then we're going to open the discussion all in one. If you can move maybe to the next presentation.
Thank you, Chair. As I indicated last time we were here, that Council took a resolution to put in place a turnaround program. It is sometimes referred to as a strategy, but we prefer to call it a program because we've done lots of strategizing and we feel we need to implement what we think is necessary for the company. And we then deduced that, among other things, the challenges that we have as part of our root cause analysis is the manner in which the organization is structured, the operating model, which was our very first issue that we had to look at. Among other things, as I said, we had already done strategic, analysis and all of that. And of the operating model, we looked at the organogram, we looked at policies, processes, procedures, and controls. And of course, we looked at our ICT systems, and as you know, that we have an issue here with the SAP, which is something that Shafiq has just referred to. We had to look at competencies and skills, and we also had to look at communication, particularly in this case, the need to create awareness and accessibility to NHPRC and for the consumer to understand exactly what our mandate is. The second, which is not visible here, is leadership. We had to look at our leadership and the quality of leadership, the competencies, and of course, whether or not the structure we have and the leadership we have is capable of taking this organization further. And the last one is culture. We had to look at the culture of the organization. You know, among other things, one of the things that we introduced was the fact that there is a need to set the tone at the top. And that has to start with council members and, of course, to EXCO and to management and staff. And in trying to inculcate a completely different tone at the top, we had to spend a lot of time dealing with issues of ethics, good practice, good governance, and everything that you need for a good organization. Just to give an example, we picked up that the past two or three leadership of the organization, at any given time, either a CEO or a chairman was fired for whatever reason, or they were moved from their position. And we thought that must have affected the morale of staff and the morale of management and everybody else. So we had to make sure that we spend lots of time on this. And hence, in all our board meetings, for instance, this is not just theory, but in practice, we have to make sure that council members declare their interest at every meeting. Literally, each one of us, before we start the meeting, we have to say, I, A.B. Chikani, chairperson of the NHPRC, hereby declare that I'm not conflicted and have no interest on matters on the agenda. And this is what we do in every meeting of council. That has come down to EXCO and, of course, to management. We thought it's important to set the tone at the top, because if you look at all the fruitless expenditure, regular expenditure, it's all as a result of some people not declaring interest or, some kind of practice that is not necessarily best within the organization. So this has become part of our culture within the organization, that you have to declare your interest at any given time and in every meeting. And then we then had to look at the legislation to revisit what we think is our core mandate and our core business. And we concluded that, we have a warranty fund that we need to protect and grow at any given time. And of course, we had to provide, research and training and innovation capability within the organization so that we can meet our mandate. And of course, the engineering and technical side of the business, and most importantly, the regulatory and compliance enforcement, as part of our role as NHPRC. Among other things here, for instance, we had to talk about whether or not NHPRC has got teeth, and I think the legislation gives us a mandate and powers to be able to deal with that. So we reduced our mandate to those four areas. And I think all of them are meant, of course, to serve the consumer. We then looked at the competencies that are required within the organization. One of them, which is very critical, and most honorable members of parliament here have raised, is is the focus on the customer service and whether or not customers are happy with our services and whether or not we are fulfilling our mandate. And of course, we then looked at issues such as the IBT, innovative building technologies, and other training, particularly, of women, disabled, the youth, and all the other designated groups, including military veterans, that we are responsible for. But we also had to look at innovation and, of course, our capacity to be able to deal with the technical side of our mandate. We had to look at our competences in terms of regulations, compliance, and enforcement. And we believe that we do have capacity. We need to grow it further here. And, of course, as I said, that, you've got training and innovation. As far as the warranty fund is concerned, we believe that we are very solvent, but it is important that we grow that fund because of some of the risks that are associated with our operations, particularly, issues around remedial work and so on. So that is important that we make sure that we do that. We do have a technical team that we work with of experts in investments, experts in actuaries and so on, who assist us in analyzing, our level of solvency and whether or not, we are not exposed. And then we had to look at, of course, six as the institutional governance capabilities, and we believe that we have put in place a governance structure that is unquestionable, whether from a Housing Consumer Protection Measures Act or the King 3, now King 4, and any other practice that you can think of, from best practice perspective. We also had to look at, an enabler such as human capital and, of course, information processes and technologies. We have taken a view that we shouldn't rush this thing because it's not just for yesterday and today. We are thinking of the business of tomorrow as NHBRC. And hence we have this ladder where, we thought the focus has to be on the operational operating model. And then, of course, we should also look at policies, processes, and procedures, and the ICT skills and competences and communication. We have retained the services of experts, for instance, in dealing with issues of operating model. We have done exactly the same, that we have a team that is looking at policies, processes, procedures, and controls. And of course, we also, as Shafiq mentioned earlier on, that we do have a team that is looking at ICT systems. As for the competencies, we have retained the services of KPMG to conduct a skills audit. And on the basis of that report, which will come out in December, we should be able to assess and come to a conclusion about the level of competencies and skills that we have within the organization. And that should culminate into communication, not only to the public as to the media, but most importantly to our consumers, to builders, and of course to our shareholder and yourselves as the portfolio committee. We envisage a situation whereby, the other day I was flying out of Cape Town and I picked up a book at Exclusive Books which talks about what brought us here cannot take us there. And we thought that we need to define exactly where we would like to be. And we believe that banks and insurance companies, it is important for us that we are a digitalized operation. We are an electronically a company that provides e-services. And among other things, if you look at our products here, you talk about registration, enrollment, research, complaints, disciplinary hearings, conciliation, and all of that. We believe that it is important that the registration and everything else that we do has to be online. In other words, instead of having people walking into our office, we would like to operate exactly like if you walk into a bank. Among other things, if your matter was handled 3 weeks ago and you walked into a bank, they will tell you exactly who handled that matter and how was it resolved and where is the process as we speak. And we think that that system has to be implemented within NHBRC. So we envisage a situation where we'll have service centers, online portal, the call center, mobile offices, and then we'll have executives, account executives that are responsible for, some of our businesses here. And, of course, that we will be able to operate. We'll have an online portal, for instance, that will enable us to look at, for instance, if it's a home building registration, there will be an online registration form that is like when you think about SARS, that not many years ago, you always had to walk into SARS and submit your documents and have someone who will be sitting there to deal with you. We think we can move this system to an online facility. On the other hand, it will still be possible for us to have people that will deal with the manual process, because I think there will be people that will not have access to all the tools that you require for that. So we envisage a situation where all what we are doing will be able to move us from where we are today to where we should be, which is where technology is going. So among other things, the inputs there will be, standard policies and processes. Of course, you'll need skills and competencies, the ICT infrastructure that we believe by the 1st of January 2017 should be in place. With all our challenges, we cross our fingers that SAP should be operational without any problem. Data management will be centralized, performance monitoring and management, and of course, leadership and change management that is very important in implementing any new system or, for that matter, operating model. There's a slide I'm looking for and I can't find it. So we have hidden some of the slides, but we think that it is important to communicate this to honorable members of parliament to say that I think by the time we come to you sometime next year, we are hoping that not so much at the beginning of the financial year, most probably at the end of the year, we would have transformed the organization to a level where accountability is online, everything that you want to know. If you want to know where your application is, where your registration is, you will be able to access this portal that will provide you with all the necessary information. Madam Chairperson, this is what we thought we could present to you within a period of 30 minutes so that we allow questions. Otherwise, if you need more information, there are lots of slides that we have hidden here because we were calculating that we will have to present for 30 minutes. But for further questions, please, you are welcome to ask us questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chikane and the team. For coming back on time to respond to our request as the committee. I'll then ask committee members to ask questions. Please don't be tempted to want to discuss the APP. We are not discussing the APP. They came to present 2 weeks ago. They presented the APP, and then out of that presentation, we asked them to come back to present their turnaround program and how they're going to deal with the repeated findings. So don't, if I'm going to rule you out of order, if you get tempted to go to the APP, because we did that. Thank you very much. So can I get comments and questions? Honorable Khurai, Honorable Ghana, Honorable Ngatimeng, Honorable Kata, and Honorable Ngangatabashi. In that order.
Chair, thank you very much. Chair, first and foremost, really, I've been struggling to get the presentation. All the presentation are not marked and there's no numbers. I even wanted to follow the presenters. I also see that they are also looking for something that we cannot get. It really gives me a serious challenge. However, Chair, I'm just moving up and down and check. I don't know how can I call this. The trends of irregular expenditure per year. I just wanted to understand it's irregular expenditure. It also, when we follow that, yes, it also has year 2016 and 2017 that will be having an irregular expenditure of 2 million. That you have planned, the entity has planned to have irregular expenditure of 2 million before even they started. If really the department can explain that. And also, I hear a little bit about the what is the turnaround strategy of the department in terms of the what the challenges of the entity, the root cause of the problems that has been happening in the entities. I was really out of the I failed to capture that information. Can they just, if they have just passed it, just try to take me on board on what had happened, the turnaround strategy on those two, on the key challenges of the entity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khurai. I just wanted you, they will come back and respond, but remember, when they came to present at the APP, one of the things that they highlighted was that they've got three-year plan programs that have already been there. That 2 million is therefore because there's already a three-year thing that is going to happen, and they know that is good, but they will still have an irregular expenditure in the coming year because of that, but it's only finishing the following year. You will remember even with the previous CEO, when they came, they explained the issue of their ICT problem. That is, even when they come the following year, they will still have that challenge because of the contract. So I just wanted you to remember that. But they will come back and explain it further. Okay. Another begun.
Thank you very much, and good morning, colleagues. It's been ages. It's good to see you again. In ages, and I will not be tempted to go to the other path that I didn't get to deal with, you know. But Chair, almost in the same line that the Honourable Khurai was asking, but this one a bit more specific. So what I did when I got the agenda, because I knew that the presentation will come looking glossy, like it looks now, you know, with a lot of pictures, wheels turning, other one not turning, because that's the nature of people who are coming to present. They present wheels turning, pictures, graphs going up and down.
Question, please.
Chair, I looked at the 2014-2015 financial year report. And I looked at the 15-16 financial year report. And in some instances, and this is the question that I'm asking myself, is that the same action that was recommended in 2014-2015 financial year is the same one that's being recommended to be taken going towards 2016-17. And there are few cases that I want to point out, Chair. One of it has to deal with the security company of Ulwazi. The action that was to be taken in 2014-15 was that the compliance checklist for bid process is implemented. And the action to be taken after that very same action was not taken in the previous financial year is that compliance checklist for bid process is implemented. And my question is, when we get reports like this, and it says we are taking action, and then in the following year, It says we are taking the very same action that we failed to take in the last 12 months. What are we to make of that? Because the same is true for the Sena 24 contract. It's the same reason, and in all these corrective actions that are being taken here, I'm failing to find where someone, for example, has been held responsible, either being dismissed. Because if, for example, you are dealing with the Uluwatu Protection Service contract, and you are responsible for that, and you are a manager dealing with that particular section of NHPRC, in 2014-15, the board and the executive said, no, we need to implement something. That thing is not implemented the whole year. And the following financial year, you come to the very same committee and say, no, we want to implement the very same thing. At some point, someone has to carry the responsibility. And all these things, even when people have not declared their private interest, because that's the other issue that the Auditor General raises, that people are not raising, are not declaring their interest. And nothing in all these contracts, I mean, I count around, I think it's 36, 37 contracts in the 2015-16 financial year. In all of them, there's no one. It's like processes. We are going to blame processes. People are not going out to get the three codes that they are supposed to do. We are going to blame processes. And there's no one, absolutely no one, Chair, from all these contracts. Almost 18 of them were reported in the 14-15 financial year. Nothing happened to them. 15-16, they are reported. And all that said here is that no compliance process will be implemented. But who's carrying the blame and the accountability for this? Because it seems like no one is doing that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ghana. Honorable Ngadumeng.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is partially asked by the previous member that has just spoken now. I was just wanted to say, if we talk about this irregular expenditure, fraud or corruption issues, do we have people that have been arrested or something has been done to them? And another issue, I want to talk about the organizational response to supply chain management challenges, that those responses that you have mentioned there. The second last from the bottom, you are mentioning about the issue of finalization of the CSCM organizational to address capacity issues. We don't see you mentioning the time frame. When are you going to finalize such? And again, on your irregular expenditure trend, something is wrong there. I think you need to correct the sequence of those financial years. You are saying 2012-2014. I think it was supposed to be 2012-2013. And then down there, 2013-2014. If you can check there, maybe something is not correct there. You can just check the sequence. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngadumeng. Honorable Kat.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think partly I'm covered by my colleague Ghana and also the Honorable Member, who just spoke now. But I'll just add one thing, Chairperson, to say. I think the question was asked with regards to what steps have NHPRC taken to make sure that, especially those irregular expenditure. And to be honest with you, Chairperson, the answer that the CA gave that time was not convincing. Perhaps they're going to give us convincing answers, because to say that disciplinary is going to take place and then what? I mean, this thing happened 2014 and now we're in 2016 and nothing has happened. So if they can dwell on that one. And also, I think I like the idea of the technology,
if it's going to yield the results that we are anticipating and have the results that the NHBRC is going to see things differently. But the way I look at it, as far as I'm concerned, I assume that is how they work, unless they're going to put new things there with regards to technology, and which is a good thing, because I mean obviously we have to move with time. But I think if they can explain to us that it is how is it different to the current situation, I think that is my question. And then, Chairperson, in as much as I understand that it is not within our jurisdiction to tap into the board itself, but I think as the portfolio Chairperson, I think as the Chairperson, I know you can multitask, but I think it is important, Chairperson, that as the committee, we tap into the board, because one of the things that I've identified as a problem within NHBRC is the board that is unstable. So I think we need to get into that space. I know the minister, it is within her powers to appoint the board, but I think we need to tap into that space because something is just not right there. And then lastly, Chairperson, perhaps I'm going to be maybe going to rule me out, I don't know. There was an article on the 2nd of November with regards to the project in Motherwell, where the department is about to lose 17 million because
of order. You are.
I am out of order.
Yes.
But this was never discussed previously.
No, but luckily you know that you are out of order. Remember, we are...
Because we are dealing with them, I just want to know their role, Chairperson.
Okay.
Because the department is going to lose 17 million, and it's something that was reported last week, Chairperson. So I want the NHBRC to respond, because when I read the article, what came into my mind was, I mean, this happened in front of NHBRC. What exactly happened? Thank you, Chairperson.
So you don't have to respond to that question? Because it's been asked on you on the spot, but if you've got the response, you can. But we would want you, if you can't, to respond in writing, so that if you want to go back and get the information, we don't have to put you on the spot. Honorable Nangakaba.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me firstly appreciate the conversation.
And in doing so, say that I'm very pleased that the NHBRC has been able to approach the AG to assist on areas of KPIs that are relevant for their provinces. That says to us, you don't see AG as the enemy, because in most cases some officials would regard AGs as the enemy, and AG is not there to find fault, but is to assist the organization to move in a particular direction and point areas of concerns and the corrective measures that are required. So I'm very pleased to learn that action. The second point, Chairperson, is about the supply chain process. I hear everything that you have listed, the training of officials and staff and the likes, but I didn't hear the procurement plan, to say that you have a procurement plan, you have developed a procurement plan, or the procurement plan is in place. And then coming to the irregular expenditure, that's 2.3 million that has been mentioned earlier on by Honorable Kurai. I would raise the question, but in a different form, that is there a process of regularizing? Because we have detected that you have overspent, and that is going to roll over to certain financial years. But do you have a process of then regularizing that irregular expenditure? and I see I remember in that you do have a audit committee, and whether that has been submitted to your audit committee, and you then it's something that has been approved by the audit committee, and the audit committee is going to when is the audit committee going to report to the council in relation to that. And then the last one is on the burning issue that we started in our previous meeting interactions with yourself. That we would like to see Chairperson in the next meeting a comprehensive a report that says how are you dealing with your disciplinary actions in relation to, especially the ones that were picked up by the SG, by the AG, as your staff members or your officials that did not declare in terms of a supply chain processes in doing business with the organization. In with your entity while they are working for that entity, and I think it was about 500 million, if my memory serves me correctly. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for those questions and clarities. Acting DG is going to the Cabinet Committee meeting. He's apologized. But the CFO is here to assist the department. If you can respond to the questions and for clarities, so that probably if we and those areas that have been asked, if you know the questions and responses by it, can help us now. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Chairperson, thank you so much for these questions. One would like to focus more on irregular expenditure and spend as much time as possible on this. If you recall, the last time we were here, I made a comment that we take irregular expenditure very seriously, such that we established a committee of council to look at irregular expenditure. And we have produced an elaborate report on this, our findings and recommendations that have been implemented. And we may be economical about the information. I'm going to talk to ask the CFO to deal with some of the matters, but we may be economical about information because we were worried about the amount of time that you are going to give us. But suffice to say that, Madam Chair, we have taken measures. We have taken action against both management and employees of the organization. We have teams within the organization, which is a bit problematic because then this creates tension within the organization where you have forensic investigators, you have, you know, all sorts of other teams that are working with us. So there's a lot of work that we would rather not release it to the media because the focus will be on investigations and all sorts of things. And hence, we chose not to make this a big issue, but we have invested a lot in this. And all the people that are implicated, action has been taken against them. We were even debating last week, you know, with Songhezo whether we should give you names of those people. We didn't think it's a good idea to do that. But we have a comprehensive report, findings, recommendations, and actions that have been taken. And if you need any evidence to that, we are more than happy to present such. But we didn't think this is the platform to do that. Do you want to deal with, you know, the rest of the?
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, I think if you recall, in the previous years, around 2012, 2013, there was some major breakdowns in the organization around this. And as you alluded to, you know, we entered into contracts which needed to be honored, and the previous CEO always articulated that, that we needed to honor those contracts because we needed to come through. So that addresses the question of the 2.3 million. The 2.3 million in the current year is, call it those contracts that needed to be honored. And that's the amount of 2.3 million up until 30th of September. Now that's it. We've also got to the point we're saying we exit all contracts. And we've given termination of all contracts. So we're not even, everything is ended here. Okay. So going forward, we don't anticipate anything. Which speaks to the issue, the question of the compliance checklist 2014-15, 13-14. So once we found the breakdown in the control which committed the organization to 3 years, we needed to honor the 3 years, but we also needed to arrest the system to say we'll never have this type of incident in the organization going forward. So that's when we put the policies, the procedures, the compliance checklist in place that we can never have a reoccurrence going forward. So the future is secured. Okay. And but the question now is, are we going to regularize the 2.3 million? Yes, we are in that process right now. We've taken it to our audit committees. We take it to our governance structures. It's to be tabled by council on the 15th of December. We've got all the support we need to sort that out. At the same time, we're working very closely with the AGM. We see them a very close support partner to assist us in navigating this together with National Treasury as well. So the skills are there now, and we're moving that forward. So we take that going forward. I think our future is fine. We just need to just learn from our lessons in the past. Now the question is, what corrective action do we do with all of this? Currently we've got service providers, independent service providers, working through all of this and telling us where there's issues of further forensic investigations or condemnation, and we'll be pushing that into the different processes going forward. But I think what's critical for us, we don't have any new incidences. We'll deal with the past in a separate process, but the future must be secured around this thing if we move forward. And I think we're almost there. In terms of the SCM organogram, yes, all the skills are in place now. We've completed that process. We've recruited all the SCM skills. We finalized the organogram. We brought all the SCM skills. So now we have much better capability in terms of how we manage the SCM processes, but also now we're about how do we write the terms of reference, how do we go to the market, how we drive efficiency, skills that we did not have in the past. And I think we're now in a new wave of moving forward around that area. In terms of cooperation, the AG, yes, cooperation is great. Procurement plan, absolutely. We've implemented the procurement plan in 2015. So the procurement plan is what we call the demand plan. That's been implemented, it's in process. I think the disciplinary process, the number was 500,000. We had about two employees, and I think we'll report back around what's the progress around those disciplinary actions around that. In terms of the turnaround strategy, I'll try to address that one quickly. Why the turnaround strategy? What are the root causes? And I think it's very, very quickly what we'll say is that when we spoke to stakeholders, we went around the country, the provinces, and we spoke to builders, consumers, staff, and there was a set of key trends coming out of there. One of the things they said, NHBRC, you are ineffective regulatory capability. Two, your processes are very manual, outdated, and it makes it very difficult to do business with the NHBRC. Three, training is sometimes difficult to access. Four, your systems are unstable. Five, sometimes your skills are not relevant in terms of inspectors not being on the ground, not being present, being visible. And so that brought us to whole communication. Do housing consumers really know their rights under the Consumer Protection Act? Are you communicating with the housing consumer? Do they know how to access their rights? Three, your standards. If you want to ensure compliance, the standards must be more freely available or accessible, and there must be support mechanisms to support our home builders in this regard. And so there was a set of circumstances or issues that came through, which forced us to go and review key areas of our business. And this is what we call the root cause analysis that has driven the structure of how we would move forward the organization in terms of the turnaround strategy. Yeah, I think essentially that's it.
Thank you so much. I think let me not repeat what you know Shafiq just said about you know there's a lot of work that we did in consulting all the stakeholders. I just want to talk to a question that is incomplete, but attempt to respond to it that the board is not stable. I wish a member of parliament could, after this meeting, share with me some more information about it. But suffice to say, Madam Chair, this might sound problematic, but it's always healthy to have a very robust council. And I have to say that I've had the opportunity of working with the best brains on that board. From day one, when we met here in Cape Town, it was very clear that the intention is to turn this organization around. That was the main preoccupation. And I have to say that irregular expenditure has always been top of the agenda because there's no council member who is credible who would like to be associated with an organization that gets a qualification and with all sorts of you know irregularities. So the preoccupation has always been that and irregular expenditure, fruitless expenditure have been very central to this. If you look at the board from a governance perspective, we have the best of the best among state-owned entities that I know. We run the business like it's a normal business. It's not a we don't take things for granted. But I think I should also say that the tension, I guess, within the organization is the rate of progress that we are making, is the speed at which we are turning around to the organization. That's where the tension is. It's not personal. It's not about individuals. It's not about personal interest. It's not about anything which is unethical. It's just having a bunch of intelligent, committed individuals with different experiences and backgrounds who would like to turn this organization around. And it has not been easy to turn it around overnight. So that has created tension. And personally, I regard that as very healthy tension. I mean, I'm sorry to say as a chair, it's actually a challenge to work with people like that who don't just come to a board meeting and collect checks and walk away. So they have vested interest in the company, and that will create that kind of healthy tension that you have. And you will see as we go forward that, unless something extraordinary comes, but I have spent almost a year with council members, and I can tell you that they all have their hearts in the right place. It's just that the pace at which we are changing the organization is a bit slow because of what we have inherited to a very large extent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think probably there's a question that you have not responded to adequately. I know that probably you, but maybe just to be specific, there's a question that has been asked by Honorable Ghana about the repeated findings and same action year in and year out, which was not, you would then find the same findings and then you would be having the same action. Maybe if you can respond to that.
Okay. So Chair, exactly. So you see some of those contracts, the security contracts that were put in place for 3 years. Right. And so that contract has come to an end now. But what we needed to do was to honor that contract contractually. And therefore, if the contract at its inception is put under an irregular condition, it will remain for the life of that contract. Okay. So that's why you find the corrective action, we said, compliance checklist is in place, so that we could never have another tender of that nature come through. But in terms of the rules, as soon as you incur that cost, it remains an irregular expenditure. But that now has come to an end going forward. Now, in terms of what we do in terms of a disciplinary action, that work is what we're saying we're busy with right now. We're working through those documents, understanding what disciplinary action needs to be taking place, And should there be any further forensic work, we will also do that work in that process. But that was the legacy that we needed to see through. But going forward, we are at that point that the line is drawn in the sand, everything is now terminated, everything is clean, and we now just need to deal with our past in terms of that past contracts, how we condone it.
Thank you very much to the NHBRC. I guess because it's a turnaround program that has just been put in place, we will only be able to see if it is yielding any fruit when they come back to report in the next financial year. It's going to be very difficult now to actually pinpoint if it's going to work or not to work. We had asked them to come back to us to present the turnaround program, and they have. We have asked them to come back and tell us how they're going to deal with the irregular expenditure, and they have. So I think on that score, let us be, for now, be comfortable with that, but then put it at the back of our minds that when then we have the same report that deals with the same things in the next financial year, then we are able to be very firm and say, but you told us that this is what you're going to do and deal with these issues. I thought that's the angle that we must take now. And thank them very much for complying to come back and present. And that's for me, one area that I just want to throw it in when you go, as you are going to the e-services, remember, it's a good thing, it's important for the urbanized, but don't leave the rural people behind. It's important because remember, as an entity of human settlement, you should be able to find your footprint all over, including those that wouldn't have access to the e-services. So as you launch the e-services, stagger it in such a way that those that are in the rural areas are not left behind because they don't have access. I just thought I must just throw it to you as you leave, so that you don't become a too modernized organization that leave the bulk of our people, the South Africans, behind because they don't have access to e-services. Yeah, thank you so much. I thought on that note we can release you. Now remember, you have extra work to do because if you come back here next year with the same findings, you are dead. You are as good as dead. You are as good as dead. So I thought I must just let you know. Thank you so much. Okay. Mpumalanga province is outside, so they're going to come in now to present to us their report. Thank you so much.
No, I'll get some coffee later. Thank you.